with a song. I don't know how often we sing this song anymore, but let's stand together and sing a song about our great country, shall we? Let's do that.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee.
Think about this. Let's say that this verse is the last time you will ever get to sing this song in this country. It's the last time. We will never, ever get to sing it again. So make it count. Let it go here. What if that was the case? Let's sing.
Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears.
God, those are hard words to sing. When we see where our country has gone, help us be the people, the Americans, yes, but even more so the Christians, who change hearts one at a time and restore people and a country back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Was it hard for you to sing that last verse, thinking that this might be the last time you ever sing? I have some tears. I used to sing this song in grade school. There are many beautiful places in this country. How many of you have been in more than one state that you live in? Wow. A lot of you have traveled. Great. How many of you have been in 5 states? Wow. Great. 10 states. All right. 20. 30. Wow. 40. My goodness. 50. That's great. Our country is beautiful, isn't it? Even Kansas. Yeah. We live in one of the most beautiful states, I think, in our country. Amber waves of grain, the blue mountains, the sunsets that remind you there's a new day coming. The greatest characteristic of our country is its freedom. People literally put their life on the line to get here. It's been a cherished part of our national identity since we proclaimed our independence from Mother England in 1776, some 242 years ago. Wow. Freedom in our country has been so cherished that over 1 million men and women have fought and died to preserve her national freedom. They pledged their lives to preserve this great gift of freedom. And so today, let's stand together and pledge our lives as well. Would you join me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. How do you know that so well? You learned it in school. You may be seated. Freedom, as we said earlier, has a deep responsibility to it. Did you know that freedom can lead to bondage? Freedom can lead to bondage. It leads to bondage when we define freedom to mean I can do anything I want to do. When our freedom is cast in the definition of personal freedom without national responsibility, we lose our identity as a nation. And therefore, our national responsibility to one another. You don't have to look very far on Facebook or Twitter or other social medias, the news, to see hatred is growing in our country. People calling each other names over even the simplest and smallest disagreements, it seems. We lose our connection that how we treat each other directly strengthens or deteriorates our nation as a whole. Did you hear that? How you treat others, boys and girls, men and women, how you treat another person strengthens or destroys your national strength, your national identity. Well, Delbert, you just don't know how much trouble I've had with so-and-so. I don't care. Because there's something bigger than your problem with that person. It's your nation. Your nation needs you to be responsible with your freedom to not rip and tear people apart. Freedom can lead to bondage when I define it to mean I can do whatever I want, regardless of how it impacts you. When love of self becomes larger than love for others, we lose our focus as a family and lose our reason for suffering for the good of someone else. Would you say that our country is losing its national identity as Americans? It seems we're becoming Democrats and Republicans and independents and this and that rather than Americans. Would you say that our country is losing its identity as a nation? In our country's capital, it seems that we're being identified by our political party. What's good for the party? Not what's good for America. And that has taken us down a dangerous road. When the leadership of a nation fights, the country gets scared and it begins to fall in line. And it'll fight too, right here at home. God has much to say about love for others over love of self. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see here. Can you get that? Okay. All right, not working. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Listen to this good word. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading out the New Living Translation. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take interest in others too. You must have the same attitude as that of Christ, who laid down his life for others. The greatest gift of love is to lay down your life for someone else. Paul isn't saying here that you have to sacrifice yourself for someone else. What he is saying is balance your giving with your receiving. Give to others. Receive, yes. Look out for your own interest, but not at the expense of other people's interests. He's telling us. For what reason does God focus on love that is willing to suffer for the good of another? Because it reflects on the heart and nature of God himself. John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave. See, this is what love does. Love gives. We need to give in good balance with receiving. The Chamber of Commerce sponsored Athena's Community Fun Night on Main Street last night. And the purpose of the evening, as we in our community or our chamber meetings, we're talking about just getting our community together to visit with one another. You know, we all get tired. We come home and think, you know, I should go visit so-and-so and make dinner. And then you sit down and, oh, I'm done for the day. And we just don't get out and see each other. And I'm so proud of our Athena Chamber of Commerce who said, let's have a community fun night. Let's just draw people out and have fun. Boy, howdy, did we have fun. How many of you were there last night? Were able to take in part of it? Friday night. Wow. I had so much fun, I thought it was last night. And our church was there with free water and free popcorn. And we signed up parents signed up their kids for vacation Bible school there. It was a lot of fun. Other vendors were there. The music was awesome. We had a great time. You should have seen Justin out there dancing away. You know, that's, he's doing pretty good. He learned it from me. No, this is the best I do. That's it. So having people gather together, watching the kids with sidewalk chalk drawing each other's bodies on the street and running around and playing and people listening to the music and the best part of all, community folks just sitting around, standing around talking with each other. You know, this is not just a fun night. This is a connecting time. And a community that's connected to each other, who knows each other's names, who understands something going on in someone else's life, has some compassion for that. That strengthens the community. Thank you, Chamber of Commerce. Getting together is important as it builds community. And it's the same for true for a church family. worship services, small groups, ABF, Sunday school classes, working together in various events, bless our community, visiting each other in homes, praying for one another in hospitals, blessing each other in various ways that help us retain the purpose of Christ in our lives. It refreshes our reason for giving good to others. Suffering, if you will. Suffering sometimes is really fun. I look forward to going and doing something that's really good. It's cost me some time. If we call that suffering, okay. But sometimes suffering is very inconvenient, isn't it? You get a call, I need you. Oh, this is a bad time, but I'm going to go. And you go and give of yourself to someone else. I'm so proud of you, Athena Christian Church. I'm very proud of you because I witness how often you ask others to be able to serve them, and you let others serve you. You give of yourself to people at cost to yourself, and that makes people consider God is good. God is good. Matthew 5:16 says, let your love of others be known. You know, do not set your light under a bushel basket, no. Let it shine that all can see it. And when they see your good deeds, they say, oh, Delbert's such a good guy. Good guy. No, they don't. They say, Delbert's God is a good guy. Your God is a good guy. That's what they say. It's the reason why we fly the Christian banner. But just as our country can forget the reason it flies its banner, to bless others with a blessing that's been given, a church can too. And we can get self-focused and forget why we exist. Paul reminds us why we exist under God's banner. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And all of this, Paul is saying, all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sin against them. Do you know God has done that for you? He doesn't count your sin against you. And God gave us this wonderful message. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. Through us. God says, church, you're it. You're my mouthpiece. If you don't say it, it doesn't get said. Ambassadors, speak. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That's our banner, brothers and sisters. That's this banner. The Christian banner. Let's stand and pledge allegiance to the banner of Christ. I pledge allegiance to the flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One breath, crucified, risen, and coming again to life and life thee for all who believe. Amen. This is why we exist. Second Timothy 3:16. Anybody know that passage? Second Timothy 3:16 and 17. You'll know it when I start reading it. You'll remember. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. It teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do a few good works. Wrong? Every good work. Yeah, good. I'm glad you're catching me at that. God uses his word to prepare us. You see, the word of God, I love how we can turn this passage into pathways. God's word teaches us how to be right with him, be on the path right with him. And then it rebukes us, teaches us where we got off, corrects us how to get back on, and to stay in righteousness, how to stay on the path of God. You see, this word, know it. Don't watch TV. Don't get on your iPhone. Don't play a game. Know your God. You know why Christians fall victim to cults? Because they don't know their word. It sounds good what others say. If you don't know, you will someday be a victim of someone else's false teaching. Psalm 119, 105. I'm sure you know this one too. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I've promised it once, I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. I promised it once, I promise it again. I will obey your word. And that's the beginning of life. That's the beginning of living in peace. Living in a knowledge that you are right with God. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. We're going to pledge allegiance to God's holy word. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Okay, we're going to do that one more time. If you have a Bible near you and you're able to pick it up and raise it, would you do so? There you go. People of the word. People who know their father, they know his character. When someone says, God's like this, and you can say, no, he's not. I know. I know. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. It is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against him. Woo! See? Now, before we close, one more word. Pledge. The word pledge. You may be seated. The word pledge means I commit myself fully to. Okay? We have, as Christians, I've been set apart for holy use only. Okay? Not holy use sometimes, or holy use when it's convenient, because, you know, choosing the harder right in the sight of holy God will cost you sometimes. Sometimes. Okay, every time. Pledge to your country, to your God, to his word, to each other. Just take a moment to look at someone else for a moment. Look at someone else. I pledge to be your brother or your sister. Man, that's family. That's goodness. When we sang America the Beautiful a few moments ago, did it bring up some emotions? Did it bring up some emotions in your heart? Did you have a hard time maybe singing some of the words? We sang about why America is beautiful. We are God's ambassadors commissioned to tell America, as many as who will hear, that there is another country. Ambassadors, you are commissioned to tell as many who will hear, this country is not our home. Am I saying it right?
Yes.
This country, as beautiful as it is, as much as we love her, she is not our home. How you and I live is how we sing our song. Oh, beautiful, the rugged cross on which our sins were paid. Oh, beautiful, the empty tomb is where our hope is made. Oh, beautiful, our heavenly home, our Father made our room. Oh, beautiful is each day to tell another he's returning soon. This is our country. America the beautiful, yes, but the promised land. Oh, the promised land. That's worth dying for. That's worth being inconvenienced for. That's worth being scared out of your mind to obey Jesus for. Amen?
Amen?
We love our country, there is no doubt. Let me encourage you today, as long as you and I have breath, we fulfill God's dream for all people. His dream? 2 Peter 3:9. God is not slow about his promise to return. Instead, he is patient with you, your family, your neighbor, your doctor, your dentist, your children. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Fellow ambassador, I leave you with this sobering thought: in a country that needs to hear God's warning and his redeeming love, an ambassador that comes to love the country he serves more than the land of his father betrays his king and his purpose. Are you an American first or a Christian first? Only you can answer. But if you say you're an American first, you may be betraying your king. Because this land is not our home. It's time, every Christian, to show and tell. Bless other people with what God has blessed you with: time, resources, and abundant grace and love. Today I'm going to ask you that if you will stand and say, God, whatever it takes to be an ambassador in this country, because I'm from your country, I'll do it. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to come and just stand down here with me, because that's what I'm telling God today. As we sing, Christ is enough. Let's stand together and sing.